Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Wednesday, January 14th, 2015. And with me today, I have Dave Hamilton. How are you, Dave?
I'm doing great, Jeff. Thank you for having me.
It's always great to have you here. And John Martellaro. How are you, John?
I am in a great mood.
That is fantastic. We'll see if both of you are in a great mood at the end of the show, because you're here today to duke
it out.
I like that, to duke it out over some thoughts on what's in store for Apple Watch. So we'll get into that in a second. But first, I wanted to talk about our sponsor this week, because it's Lynda.com, and they're a fantastic company. And if you're not familiar with Lynda.com, what they do is create online video training courses. And they have some fantastic things for graphic design, for computer programming, and most anything you can think of. One thing that I didn't realize until just recently, they have courses on tax preparation, which I thought was absolutely fantastic because we're coming into tax season. So you can go to lynda.com, learn how to prepare your taxes, and hopefully get yourself a legal and nice refund out of that too. What Lynda is doing to make sure that we all can learn as much as we can, they're giving all of our TDO listeners a free 10-day subscription, so you can go and try it out and check out as much training as you can possibly cram into that 10-day period. So if you want to learn more, and you should, go to lynda.com, that's lynda.com/TDO, and sign up for your free 10-day trial. Check it out and start learning more, because that's a good thing for all of us.
That's 240 hours of training if you're willing to really commit. Free.
Yeah. And I'm betting some of our listeners are capable of making that commitment.
I know you are.
I believe in you. Yeah. All right. So
Lynda.com/TDO.
That's right. And thank you, Lynda, for being our sponsor this week. You guys rock. And so now let's hop into this gentlemanly discussion. And what this stems from is, John, you have posited that Apple is going to make Apple Watch more appealing to people by making it a device that they can actually upgrade the hardware for you.
I want to point one thing out before you take off, John. Not only you did posit this, but you posited this on Twitter. And so we're taking a Twitter fight and turning it into an Audible fight, which is so awesome. So now, okay, go.
All right, well, there's two elements here. One is whether Apple should do this and would do this. And I think it's a good idea. And the other element is an article I ran across by Lou Miranda, who I think is involved with Medical Electronics, who took a close look at some photos supplied by Apple and thought he saw a mechanism to replace the S1 chip assembly. So he discussed that and laid out some of the issues. And the combination of my enthusiasm for how great an idea this is and Mr. Miranda's detective work made for a nice article explaining how there's this great conundrum. You know, we get a new iPhone every year. The technology is changing rapidly. If Apple moves buttons around on the physical design or adds new features, it's okay because the iPhone is changing rapidly. It's a new emerging technology. It's only 7 or 8 years old, and we're accustomed to change, whereas watches have been around for a long, long time. And so if one goes out and spends a kilobuck or a little less or a little more on an Apple Watch as a luxury and fashion item, one is going to be very adverse to the idea of upgrading it, throwing it away, trading it in over a one-year interval. And I think that the idea of having a fixed, for a few years anyway, outer casing with its glorious sapphire and stainless steel and your favorite strap, and being able to swap out the guts at some interval to be determined, to upgrade it makes for an elegant combination of Apple's cash flow and keeping the watch upgraded, and yet preserving your investment in what is arguably a, you know, expensive fashion watch.
So, Dave, before you jump in, can I ask a quick question?
Yeah.
Okay, John, what you're saying, I can totally see happening. But at the same time, I'm wondering, why would Apple look at Apple Watch differently than they look at iPhone, where people are willing to spend several hundred dollars every year?
I'm willing to answer that question, but I'll let Dave start off his side.
First of all, kilobuck is an awesome term. Thank you for that. But we spend a kilobuck on an iPhone, and some of us do that every year, right? My 128 gig iPhone 6 Plus will, in the end, with the free financing that you get from AT&T or whomever it is that's giving you your financing, will cost me $950, right? So $50 short of a kilobuck. So here's the thing, though. If you're spending, see, I think the Apple Watch, what do they say it's going to cost? $349, right? For the low end model.
Entry. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, my feeling is that they've overshot that by $50, probably intentionally. So I think the sport model is going to be $299, but the sport model doesn't have sapphire glass, which is, Apple's description of the sport model says that it doesn't have sapphire glass. That's probably correct. Given the price point, but of course anything can change. We saw the original iPhone go from plastic to glass screen on the 8 gig model or whatever that was right out of the gate, right? So, I think this one will not change just because of price. The thing is, the watch that you'll want is going to be in that kilobuck range, right? It's going to be probably, you're probably going to spend $700 on this thing. I think some people might be happy in the $500 range. I don't think there's going to be a lot of people happy in the $300 range once you get the right strap that you want and the watch model you want. I think you're in $500-$700 for this thing. How much is it going to cost to upgrade the guts? I mean, am I going to spend half of that upgrading the guts? And does that make sense? I mean, if you're asking everyone to just say, okay, well, you get to keep your case, but you got to spend another $300 to get the new guts and the new processor and all that, that we're going to come out with next year. I'm still not convinced. How long is that going to last, right?
Well, Dave, if you pick a number that's high enough, you can make a case that people will be resistant. On the other hand, if Apple wants people to be happy with upgrading their watch, and though that chip assembly is suitably inexpensive, you can make a case that, for $149, you get a whole new watch.
But wait, but how long is that going to go? And what Apple are we talking about? Because we're certainly not talking about the Apple that has never considered this with an iPhone. We're certainly not talking about the Apple that, for the most part, doesn't allow you to do this with any Mac that's out there. We're certainly not talking about the Apple that didn't really even allow you to do this with an Apple IIe, right? I mean, there was no CPU upgrade from Apple for that when they came out with a faster machine. So, and also, we're not talking about an Apple that has ever stuck to a form factor, right? I mean, especially not from version 1 to version 2. They don't know. We don't know how people are going to use this. We don't know if the smart crown is in exactly the right spot, right? These kinds of things are going to be determined by the folks that use them en masse. And there are people using them. I've heard from some of them, right? But there are people that work at Apple. And so this is, that's a pretty insular group, right? So once it gets out in the market and starts being used by lots of different people and in lots of different ways, and who knows what third parties are going to do, right? In terms of maybe a third party's going to make a strap for the watch. Well, who knows, right? How all that's going to fit. There is no indicator. And we have to use history as the indicator here because there's no indication that Apple's going that Apple's ever even considered doing this, let alone there's certainly no indication that they've ever done it.
Well, that's a good point. That's a good point, Dave. The history is on your side in this argument. But let me respond to that and to Jeff's question that I promised to answer. when we heard about the Apple Watch, we also heard about Apple hiring a bunch of watch experts, executives at watch companies. I think there was one from Tag Heuer who was brought in. And I think what Apple's sensitive to is the idea that in a rapidly changing technology like iPhones, people want to have the latest and greatest. But when people spend a lot of money on a luxury fashion watch, they don't like to be jerked around. They're accustomed to having something that is going to be something they're proud of wearing, is very cool, looks good. And when the year rolls around, they're going to feel like they're being asked to come up with more money for something that's a pretty standard kind of thing, a wristwatch that does a whole bunch of cool things, as opposed to a phone. The phone is much more capable. The Apple Watch depends on the phone. It links to it. The phone, we've heard recently, is going to manage your apps on the Apple Watch. The Apple Watch doesn't do a whole lot of stuff on its own like the iPhone does. And so because of its limited capabilities and dependence on the phone, and because of its fashion aspect, I doubt that people are going to be really excited about trading it in or buying a new one, considering how much they paid and how proud they are of it. And so making it upgradable gives Apple, it unties Apple's hands. It gives them an opportunity to see what people are thinking about the physical aspects of it and let that settle out and take advantage of the rapid changes in chip technology. So if Apple were to come out with a new Apple Watch every year with different form and as you said, Dave, a slightly different way of handling the scroll wheel and different physical design, a little thinner, better battery. If Apple did that every year, I think it would be wearisome and people think about their watches differently. And I'm sure the experts that Apple hired told them about how people feel about their wristwatches, especially expensive ones. And so I just have this feeling that Apple's going to be treating it different. It would be typical for Apple to come out with an Apple II watch. We've already heard rumors of an Apple Watch 2.0 being developed, but who knows when that will ship. So I just have this feeling that Apple's going to be sensitive to the industry as opposed to coming in like a bull in a china shop and say, well, your original Apple Watch that you paid $795 for, well, guess what? It's obsolete. We want you to buy a new one. I don't think that's going to wash the way it does with iPhones.
You know, we've seen iPhones. The recent years, this has not been the case. We've kind of seen new form factors every year. But in the past, it was always one form factor lasted 2 years, right? We had the model, and then we had the S version of that model, right?
Right.
But there was no way, if you had a 4, you couldn't buy guts for a 4S and put it inside there, right? If you had a 5, you couldn't buy guts for a 5S and put it inside there. Look how small they're going to need to make this watch. I don't think they're going to waste space on making it user serviceable from that standpoint.
Oh, no, not user serviceable. Apple upgradable.
But even getting the guts of an iPhone apart, so now we've got to not only pay for the actual hardware that we're putting in our watch, but now we have to pay Genius Time, which admittedly, especially based on my recent experience, they're willing to give away in spades, right? I mean, they replaced in the iMac that I'm sitting in front of here, they replaced a motherboard, a power supply, and a graphics card, and the labor charge on that was $39. So,
wow.
Oh, yeah. They give this stuff away. It really screws the small Apple shops, but we'll leave that out of it because they have to charge for labor because, you know, they pay people and they don't have Apple's money behind them. So to your point, John, yeah, Apple is willing to do some things for their customers that don't make financial sense, specifically when it comes to Genius labor.
Also, we don't know how well this is going to sell. You know, Apple's selling, what, 40 million phones a quarter? Is that right?
Yeah.
Something along those lines. But how many of these are they going to sell? They're going to sell, you know, estimates are reasonable estimates are 10 to 15 million a year.
That's right, because it's an iPhone accessory. You have to own the iPhone first. Now, I also, and this might be outside of the scope of this debate, but I also know, we also know full well, that is not a definite in perpetuity, right? The iPod was Mac only when it first came out. Obviously, that changed. There's nothing stopping Apple from creating an API for the watch and opening it up and saying, hey, Android users want to use this, right? I mean, if the watch becomes more popular than the iPhone, then absolutely that's what Apple will do.
I think the battery power is the limit here.
Yeah, I do. So I don't think they're going to make this thing user serviceable, but they will make it serviceable. They have to, right? Shop serviceable, because there is, I think there's a lot of geeks out there that see the range of Apple watches that will come out, all the way from the sport at the bottom all the way up to the gold at the top. And I think there's a lot of people that are very, I don't want to say misinformed, but misassuming, guessing incorrectly about the price of the high end. That is a solid gold watch on the high end. That
it's
is not gold.
It's going to cost a lot of money.
It's going to cost $10,000. Well, here's the thing. If you went out today and decided, I want to buy a solid gold watch, if you could find one for $10,000, you would buy it, because that's the cheapest solid gold watch you could find. Most of them come from luxury brands that add their own brand value to it. And by brand value, I mean profits, right? So really, if you're going to buy a solid gold watch, you're in the 20 grand range to start. You could pay $1 million for a solid gold watch. And I know that sounds crazy, but they exist. But if you want a solid gold watch from a reputable brand that you know you're going to be able to get service from for decades, you're going to spend, you're starting at about 25, maybe 15 if you're, you know, if you're, and I'm talking brand new, not necessarily the used market, though it's not that much cheaper. So even if Apple decides to undercut the market substantially, it's still a $5,000 watch, right? But it's solid gold. It's not going to be $1,000. For that watch. So yeah, it's going to need to be serviceable. But I don't see it in the cards that Apple's going to artificially limit future watch capabilities just to stick with a form factor. They've just never done that before.
I have a hypothesis that that I think falls in the middle in this case, which is Apple's going to do with Apple Watch like they're doing with iPhones, where you can take it in and trade it in, and they give you credit to apply to a new purchase.
I'd buy that.
Yeah, I bet they'll do that with Apple Watch.
Yeah,
but what do they do for the? I mean, now to John's point, right? Now let's apply the emotional factor here. What are they going to do about the person that buys the $5,000 or $15,000 or something in that range gold Apple Watch?
I guess if you're rich enough, you never have buyer's remorse.
That's not true. I know a lot of people that own high-end watch. I'm a watch geek, right? You know, I don't own a solid gold watch. I have a watch that's two-tone. Part of it's solid gold and part's stainless. And today that watch is worth about 10 grand, but that's not what I paid for it. I bought it a number of years ago. But, you know, they do. And that's the other thing, right? I paid $6,000 for that watch 7 years ago. Today I could sell it used for 10. Okay. That's not going to happen with the Apple Watch. I mean, there will be in 30 years, there will be some collector, you know, type value of the first Apple Watch.
Oh, yeah. All you guys who buy the first edition, hang on to it for 30 years.
Yeah, totally. But it's not the kind of thing where it's just going to increase in value like a Rolex will, right? I mean, that's not – in 2007, that might have been the best investment I made. I mean, that was crappy times for the stock market, right? So to have bought something then at $6,000 or whatever, maybe $5,500, and now it's worth almost double that – that's actually pretty good, you know. So, I just don't see the Apple Watch doing that, because my watch that I bought 7 years ago works the same. It does everything that I need it to do still. That won't be the case in 7 years with the Apple Watch 1. It will basically be, you know, functionless. And that's where I have a real disconnect with we're marrying technology and jewelry here. Jewelry is timeless. Technology is not.
That's why I believe that this sapphire, crystal, stainless steel, beautiful strapped watch will preserve the timeless element and give the buyer great satisfaction. And yet he'll be able to upgrade it every year, like his iPhone, if he wants to, for $150.
Is it going to be the kind of thing that you pass down to your kids? I mean, the watch that I'm wearing today came from my wife's late uncle. So I've had it 11 years. It's a Citizen. I think it probably cost about $150 when it, you know, when it was new. I've had it almost 15 years now. It was handed down to me. I think he had it for 10 years prior to that, right? So it's a 20 to 30 year old watch, but it's fine. I mean, I've had to have it serviced and I've probably paid far more in service than the thing cost brand new. But I like it. It has sentimental value and I also just like it. But that's the thing. It's timeless, except that it keeps time and that there's a pun there. But, and I'm a watch geek, so I have lots of things, you know, lots of these types of things. I have some watches that cost like $50 that I really love. You know, the price doesn't matter. It's, you know, there's a story behind each one of them. I feel like when you add technology into it, I mean, there's no story behind my iPhones because I haven't had them long enough. It's just, you know, they're utility and I move on. And I feel like the Apple Watch is going to be a utility device no matter how much we try to make it jewelry.
Well, you know, the watch, as you said, Dave, isn't going to change as fast as the phone. Every year we buy a new phone because the technology improves quite a bit. But because of the technical limitations, the battery power and the size of the chip and its dependence on the phone, the Apple Watch isn't going to be changing quite so rapidly.
Maybe.
I'm not convinced of that, John. I bet Apple's going to find ways to make the Apple Watch change very quickly.
Well, all I know is that if customers feel that they're being milked, they're going to be annoyed, and this is not something that people need. A lot of the feedback that I'm seeing from readers on the columns I write is I don't really need one of these things. I have a watch that tells me time. I have a fitness watch. You know, this is just a boondoggle by Apple. Nobody's going to go out and spend $800. Or $349 for the low-end model for this watch, and you have to have an iPhone. Customers are very skeptical, from what I've seen, about Apple's motivations in this. And if this is just seen as another product category where you're going to be endlessly milked and upgraded every year, and you have to get on the fanboy bandwagon, and the attitudes towards that are not going to be very good. But if it's seen as Apple entering this luxury watch arena with good intentions and with wholesome values and a strong commitment to customer investment and usability and upgradability, then people will be pleased over time.
All right. We are out of time, which just causes me great dismay because I'm loving this discussion.
Have we settled anything?
No, we've
no,
no,
I
we
don't
haven't.
Think we did.
But Dave,
you did disagree.
Dave, I wanted to give you a few seconds to respond to John if you had anything to say to his last comments.
No, I don't think. I mean, I think I've said it. I've said my piece here. The reality is, we don't know. We can, you know, as I said, we can look at history as an indicator, and that's it. But to John's point, this is different. It's the first time Apple's making true jewelry, right? Or at least dancing this far into those waters. And although it could be argued that the iPhone is, you know, a fashion statement too. In fact, it's not much of an argument. It really is, right? We'll find out. You know, I'll talk to you in a year.
It'll be fun.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, we'll have to do a follow-up to this. In
I know
a year.
I'll be buying one.
Yeah, we're the wrong people. You know, I've had a lot of people ask me, you're a watch guy. Are you going to get an Apple Watch? It's like, well, yes, but, you know, it's hard for me to say whether I would get one if I wasn't so steeped in this world because of what I do every day. It's, you know, I can't separate that in my head.
That's what I tell my wife, Dave. I said, if I'm going to write about it, I have to have one.
See?
Yeah, and I'll be buying one, and I'm not a guy that wears stuff on my wrist.
Right. Well, yeah. And you know, that's the thing. So they've got to convince you to wear one and you don't wear anything on your wrist. But it's just as hard to convince me to wear one because I have to take what's on my wrist off and wear that. So it's arguably even harder to get me to wear an Apple Watch.
That's true. They have to get you to switch. They just have to get me to give up my wrist. And it will be interesting to see which company actually does that.
I know. Well, they have to convince me to give up. What do I have, like 6 or 8 watches or something that I rotate through? You know, so I've got to give up all of that to get the, you know, full-time functionality of the Apple Watch. I don't know, man. I don't know that I will. I don't know that the benefits are that important to me. Fitness games don't do it for me. I'm a
Apple
pretty
Pay.
Fit guy.
Apple Pay. Fit. I can't wait to go into Panera Bread and buy my bread and muffins and wave my Apple Watch over the terminal and walk yeah. out. I can't wait.
Yeah.
That's going to be so cool.
I'm with you. I'm with you.
And soon you'll be able to. Dave, thank you so much for joining me today.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
And John, thank you for being here too.
Absolutely,
you guys were wonderful sports and did carry on what turned out to be a very gentlemanly discussion. Also, thank you to Lynda.com for being our sponsor this week. Go and get your free 10 hours of training and learn as much as you possibly can. That's Lynda.com, LYNDA.com/TDO. And we will see everyone tomorrow.